The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
So, this week, in part of my investigation into the organics bill, I've talked to Julian Hayes, the head of School of Food and Advanced Technology at Massey University. Now, Julian is also a professor of post-harvest technology. So, last week, I talked to Andrew Brakhuis, an academic researcher in nutrition at the University of Auckland, which gave me an insight into the nutritional value of organics. By talking to Julian, I've been wanting to find out about the differences between conventional and organic farming, as well as what sort of regulations could come into play from a farming perspective. While I asked a number of the same questions to both interviewees, both gave quite different answers focusing on different areas. So I started off by asking Julian what defines a product as being organic.
Yeah, so currently there are a number of organic certification systems. And so people who want to call something organic, we generally make the assumption that they are a certified grower and they're following one of those prescribed standards. But of course, there will be unscrupulous people who just label something as organic and sell it as such. Now, strictly under the Fair Trading Act, that's already illegal. But the purpose of the bill is to just make it clearer and say, we're going to have some national standards, and if you want to sell organic products, you'll need to adhere to them.
And what about on an international level when it comes to communicating between different countries and their different standards?
Yep, so there are some wonderful international bodies, but it is bodies plural. And so there are internationally accepted standards that operate basically transnationally, but there's more than one of them. So again, it is a big risk for New Zealand's trading that someone could try and trade claiming they were a certified organic producer. And when you look into it, you might find that that's not quite true.
Now, are there any benefits to growing and importing organic products?
So the consumer will tell you absolutely. And I need to just hedge my bets a little bit here. So there is a sector of the community who desperately want to believe that fresh products in particular that they purchase will be free from chemical residues and will have been grown in a way that doesn't harm the environment. So that's what people sort of expect that they are getting when they are willing to pay a little bit more for organic products. Of course, everyone who grows conventional agricultural products would also like to believe that they are selling products with no harmful residues on them and that are not doing harm to the planet either. So in the consumer's mind, it makes a direct connection between what you're buying and a sort of a more sustainable world. As I say, for conventional agriculture, they get a little bit grumpy about that and say, you're kind of trying to say that all the rest of the products are not so good for you, which is simply not true.
So are there really any more benefits from an environmental point of view in organic farming?
Okay, the principle, of course, is that that's exactly what organic farming is designed to do, is to be environmentally sustainable, friendly to you as a consumer and respectful of workforces. It covers everything from the way it's grown to how it's packaged and even the sort of the way the workers are treated. So the principles are wonderful, they're admirable, but as I was sort of saying before, most of our conventional growers would claim that they are also doing all of those things without that's sort of the nature of good sustainable farming.
So would you now be able to sort of go through what's in this new organics bill that's been put forward?
What I understand about the new organics bill is that it is setting up a sort of a system for regulating the way organic agriculture is practiced, and that it will set up the concept of a national organic standard, but it won't actually define that standard itself. It will also, we believe, it imposes, I'm not entirely familiar with the bill that's just had its first reading, but I believe it would make that a compulsory standard and with mandated regular verification checks, so that it's basically therefore set up to give consumer confidence that when they buy something organic, it truly complies with a standard. And that standard, their compliance with that standard has been checked by somebody. When they were drafting the bill, they did a good round of public feedback, and they were very concerned that many small growers have seen this as a way of producing higher value products, and they didn't want a system that was so expensive that it actually is unavailable to those small growers. So the goal of the bill is to try and make it something that could still be achieved by small growers, but doesn't give them an easy pass. If they're claiming it's organic, they have to show that it's organic.
Now, what sort of effects will this have on the organics industry when it comes to applying for compliance? Could we see a decrease in the number of people growing organic products, or could we potentially see an increase in the number of people growing now that there are more standards around it?
I think it's fair to say that the organic sector is delighted that the bill is setting out a positive way forward, that it appears to be something that's achievable for everybody in the industry. And so the organic sector are definitely positive, in, as far as I can tell, about this legislation. Will it lead to more people choosing to grow organic products? I think that's going to depend on consumers, both domestically and internationally. So they do get a premium price currently, and whilst there's a premium price available, people will choose to move into the organic sector. But it is hard work, and any organic grower will tell you that. So many growers have decided to be sort of as sustainable as they can, but without choosing to follow the very prescriptive organic rules.
Now, if this bill does go through all the readings and goes into law, how could we see this affect the everyday lives of New Zealanders when it comes to consuming produce?
I think it would be fair to say that for an ordinary consumer, all it gives you is peace of mind, that it would be the reassurance that if it says it's organic, then it has gone through an agreed standard process and that the person making that claim is being audited in some way. Funnily enough, as I said right at the start, under the Fair Trading Act, if you call something organic and it isn't, then actually you're already in breach of the trading rules. But the problem is the person would say, oh, it is organic, and they'd be able to describe the way they grew it for you without anybody else's certification, and they may be entirely correct, but it makes it very hard for sort of checking up on people's claims, I suppose. Whereas now there would be a defined set of standards which you must comply with.
And from my understanding, would this be applying to not only sort of horticulture, but also agriculture when it comes to dairy farming and maybe like chicken farming and other forms apart from just plants?
That is definitely correct, that it is already quite broad ranging. However, there is, I believe, still discussion about aquaculture, and there are some arguments that it should be helpful if we could label marine or land-based aquaculture products as being organic or not.
Sweet. Are there any other comments you'd like to make?
Yeah, sort of hesitating.
Yeah, no worries.
Might have to be so I hope that you've managed to hear me saying that we work with both conventional agriculture and with people who are ardent or passionate supporters of organic agriculture, and they coexist. They deliver useful products to the consumer, and not, you know, the vast majority of consumers, frankly, don't buy organic products. So it is a more expensive way of delivering a certain measure of consumer confidence. And environmentally, it's very good for the environment. That's absolutely fine. But it often comes, for example, with a yield penalty. So you can't get as much production from a certain land area. And that's probably a good thing in global terms, as long as we can produce enough food for the people who need it. So, you know, it's a tricky conversation to have internationally. So at the simple level, New Zealand can sell high value organic products. We will have a market for them. And it's a great option for some growers who wish to go in that direction. I have a particular sort of ranty kind of a line of argument, which says that unfortunately, particularly from Europe, they are imposing demands on tropical developing countries to say, if you want to sell to us, your best route would be to deliver organic fresh products from your production systems. And this is a kind of a neo-colonialism. It's actually really hard to grow organic products in a temperate environment. It's even harder to do that when you don't have a winter that takes care of pests and diseases. So all year round, you're growing in the presence of high disease and pest pressure, and you're not allowed to use safe agrochemicals to manage your production system. So I consider the imposition of organic production in tropical countries kind of unethical, and yet it is, you know, you can dress it up as saying, oh, it's entirely the right thing that we want these growers to grow and produce their products in a clean, safe way. So anyway, that doesn't apply in New Zealand. In New Zealand, we do have good, hard winters, and so it is possible to grow organic products with only a modicum of extra difficulty. And if people would like to do that, they're most welcome to do so.
Now, you talked about land use. Now, some of the research I sort of looked at is that organic farming can necessarily not be as good for the environment due to higher land use and higher water use and potentially producing more carbon emissions. Is that true to a point?
Yeah, these are the science details which we debate endlessly as we do the detailed research. So yes, the whole principle of the organic system is admirable, and it wants to look at long-term sustainability, low impact on the environment, and it attempts to prescribe all manner of ways of achieving that. But yes, exactly, a high-intensity apple orchard, for example, that has crowded the apples together and is producing masses of apples per square meter, it kind of needs a certain level of agrochemical input, and it delivers a remarkably efficient range of food for people from a small land area. And so as long as they have done the testing and make sure that they're not depleting the soil over time, that they're not giving rise to harmful chemical residues on the fruit surface, then I would say that could be arguably a more sustainable system than a lower intensity, essentially chemical-free or artificial chemical-free production system, which you would call organic. So these are difficult sums to do. That, you know, do you measure nitrogen emissions per kilogram of product produced, for example, in which case sometimes a high-intensity production system can actually have less waste coming off that land per kilogram of product that's produced.
For New Zealand, what would be potentially the best way of measuring it for our country? Because obviously different places are going to say nitrogen emissions are our number one problem. Some places are going to be land usage. So what would it be for New Zealand?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the fact that we will always have a diversified production sector. That's the nature of New Zealand, is that we don't particularly like central instructions on how we should do things. And so there will be growers and farmers who choose to produce organically, and there'll be others who choose to produce using conventional agricultural systems. The ones using conventional will be under pressure to ensure that they are not harming the environment, either the waterways or the air above the land that they're growing on, or for that matter, the soil. So there is going to be increasing regulation on conventional farming and the organic farming. My hunch is that we would overall see a reduction in our volume of food that we produced if everybody tried to go organic straight away. But I think that we should all be moving in the direction of the long-term sustainability. That's the only ethically wise way to be growing food, surely.
Sweet. Sort of my own question that I've been wanting to know for a while. Could we potentially see the sort of New Zealand sort of agriculture and horticulture industry change a lot with the sort of rise of like fake meats, and potentially see land that's now currently being used for dairy farming move towards growing crops which would be used to maybe be making soy milk or these fake meats?
Yep. No, these are really interesting questions, and you can imagine they are occupying the minds of both horticulture and agriculture bodies very strongly at the moment. So the key thing that we try and summarize here is that if you're just thinking in economic terms, which is only one argument, but if you're thinking in economic terms, New Zealand has no comparative advantage in the production of plant-based proteins. So what I mean is that the countries with huge areas of flat land, like the States or China, can produce soy at a fraction of the cost that we would be able to in New Zealand. And I know this is true because, for example, we work with Indonesia, and they import American soy for less than the price that their own growers can produce soy, and that's when they pay their workers maybe $3 or $4 a day. So it just shows the efficiency of plant protein from some large broadacre farming systems in the world is already extremely high. That's not a route that New Zealand should go down. However, including more plant protein in our diet is a great thing. So what do we do about this? How do we continue to make money as a small agricultural nation with a rolling hillside that is sort of the characteristic thing of New Zealand? We do have water, which is a big advantage over many of our Southern Hemisphere competitors. Not always in the right place at the right time, but it's usually reasonably close by. So if the consumers in New Zealand can accept a little bit more water storage and irrigation, then we could end up with a very reliable future. But it seems to me it would be unwise for us to rush away from the diverse pastoral systems that we have at the moment. Certainly, highly intensive dairy farming seems to have reached its peak, and we should retreat a little bit from that. But that doesn't mean it can't be a long-term part of our sustainable future. And I reckon that, I'm not alone, obviously beef and lamb love this idea, but I think there'll always be a market for a product which we can label as being sustainably reared, rain-fed, pasture-grown red meat, and you sell it to people who are looking for that kind of a product in the marketplace. So with the plant-based proteins, clearly that's where there's a massive amount of consumer interest right at the moment. It strikes me as bizarre that we then have to pretend that plant-based protein is an animal protein. I don't understand why you make it look like a burger, one of the least healthy products in available to us as a food. And many cultures have a very high plant-based diet, eating things which look nothing like animal protein. So it's all like marketing. But I do think that we could be making sort of high-value money as a country out of taking smart technologies that allow you to put, for example, animal flavors into plant products. So we won't be the cheap producer of the plant protein, but we could own a specialist technique or process which allows you to get new textures or tastes or whatever it is from products with a higher amount of plant protein in them. So that's kind of a high-tech solution for how New Zealand can keep on earning good money out of a system which is perhaps of less interest to the world's very environmentally minded consumers.
In the near future, also surrounding this topic, I hope to talk to a professional about the other end of the process around the history and current status of sustainability marketing in New Zealand and how organic products fit into this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.